We have with us in the studio today one of the authors of the book Space Australia. Welcome to the Space Show, Kerry.
Hello, Andrew. Nice to be here again.
Kerry, a book on Australia's history in space. Does Australia actually have any space history to mention?
Yes, it does. Of course, a lot of people automatically say, Australia, what space history? But in fact, Australia's involvement with space goes right back to the very beginning of the space age. In fact, in a sense, it goes even beyond. It goes back to the real beginnings of rocketry in the immediate post-war period, with, of course, the development of the Woomera rocket range.
That was built for the British missile program then?
Yes, that's right. Originally begun around about 1946-47 for what were planned then as a series of long-range ICBMs for to defend Britain from the Russian menace. And its original purpose, of course, was weapons testing. But in the late 50s, as rocketry began to include not merely missiles but space rocketry, Woomera took on a role within the space programs of both Britain and the United States, as a matter of fact.
So what was Australia's role then? I mean, other than just providing the land and the rocket range and perhaps a few support personnel, was Australia actually involved in any of the technology of it?
In fact, we were. A lot of people don't realise that. But Australia developed its own number of its own missiles and sounding rockets. And although they might at first have been derived from, say, British prototypes, we were building our own rockets and rocket motors by the late 1950s and into the 60s. Australia had, in fact, quite a an extensive homegrown sounding rocket program for scientific research, and actually meteorological research, space astronomy, hypersonic research, all of which was conducted out at Woomera.
And where did we go from there? I mean, it doesn't exist anymore.
No. Well, we actually went a long way in the 1960s, right up to launching our own satellite. And I'm sure many people listening tonight won't be aware that Australia was one of the first countries in the world to launch its own satellite. There's a bit of discussion over whether it was the third or the fourth, but certainly it was one of the first. Russia and the United States are obvious. France, in fact, launched its own satellite in 1965. And
from Algeria.
From Algeria, yes, or what was then the French Sahara. And Australia launched RESAT in 1967 from the Woomera range.
Yes, but the difference is, of course, that RESAT was launched with an American rocket, whereas the French one...
That's right, the French was a completely home-built affair. Australia, as you say, did use an American rocket, although, of course, the satellite itself was Australian-made and Australian-designed.
What happened to that satellite eventually?
The satellite itself orbited for about 2 months and burned up on re-entry.
And did it provide any useful data?
Yes, it did. In fact, it was a continuation of programs that had been conducted as I was saying before, with the sounding rockets. They were doing work on ultraviolet astronomy, X-ray astronomy, and the experiments that were designed for RESAT were continuations of the experiments that had been done with the sounding rockets. And they found some interesting data on the solar radiation, ozone count in the upper atmosphere, which is fairly early considering the interest in the ozone layer these days, but they did work on the ozone count in the upper atmosphere. I think some gamma ray detectors on board. So there was a variety of programs. None of the information they recovered, of course, was earth-shatteringly important, but it was all important as a continuation of the work that was being done to bring a summation of information about upper atmospheric conditions over the Australian continent.
We've mentioned that Australia actually had built some of its own rockets, albeit not space launch rockets. But what happened to those eventually? Did the whole program peter out, or does it survive today?
No, the whole program died an unnatural death in the early 1970s. As some of our listeners will be aware, Australia pulled back very much from any involvement in space in the early 70s. Once, in a sense, it was like a symptom of the worldwide sudden loss of interest in space that followed after the Apollo programs. There was a noticeable loss of interest in America and in other parts of the world, and unfortunately in Australia as well. And the Australian government at the time, particularly because now by this time the British had pulled out of Australia, in any meaningful sense in their involvement with Woomera. The European Launcher Development Organisation, which was a predecessor of ESA, which had also used Woomera, had pulled out by this time. So that, you know, the Australia's interest, or the Australian government interest, had been primarily driven by these external interests. Once they pulled out, the Australian government saw no need for Australia to be involved in space research and began to cut back very severely on the funding that was made available to these programs. And ultimately the funding for the sounding rocket programs fell victim to this general withdrawal of any involvement in space-related work.
So would it be fair to say then that the Australian government saw itself as a bit player in the scene, and once the major league saw no use for Australia, they just said, well, we've got no part. We
pretty
can't
much.
Become a major
player. It was a case of they developed a mindset, you know, space is for the big boys, and we're not big enough to play. And that was the unfortunate thing. If the Australian government of the period had, I believe, had a better approach that, you know, all right, we can't do all the things that the United States can do, but we can do certain things. I think we might have maintained more of a space program and a space presence through the 70s than we did, instead of this space is for the big boys, it's too expensive for us, let's pull out.
Right, so coming back to your book then, you presumably detail much of this in the book.
Yes, the book covers quite a wide area of space involvement. Obviously, the programs that were done at Woomera, but Australia's had enormous involvement across a huge spectrum of space scientific research, both in Australia and overseas. And of course, we're looking at briefly looking at the various programs that Australia's had involvement with. The development of space industry here in Australia, Australia's very heavy involvement with the US tracking programs. Everyone will know of Tidbinbilla, of course. But again, back in the 60s, Australia had the largest number of tracking stations, or NASA tracking stations, outside the United States. We're also looking, of course, at the military tracking stations, Narangar, Pine Gap, and so forth, as well as the civilian ones. The book does cover Australian space policy and the way that that has affected the various space programs that Australia's had, and looks a little bit at where the opportunities might be for Australia in the future, where we might go. We're not looking at the science fictional future, but the real, you know, possibilities in the near term, so the next 10 to 15 years, of where Australia might go in developing a space program.
And if listeners want to get hold of this book, how can they do so?
They can purchase it at the Powerhouse Museum if they happen to be visiting Sydney. They should be able to purchase it at most major bookshops. And if you are having difficulty, you can contact the Powerhouse Museum and we can arrange a mail order.
And how much will it cost them?
I believe
$24.95. Okay. Well, we urge our listeners to go out and look at it. It's certainly a result of a major research effort by Matthew James and Kerry Doherty. So thank you for joining us today on The Space Show, Kerry.
My pleasure again, Andrew.